Guys, welcome to the SC podcast. Kind of a different one right now, man. We've got the college kids back home, but got Dale and Pigford in the house today, man. Dale, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We'll just go right into it, man. Congratulations on signing with Cal State, man.
Thank you.
Just when I read it the other day, man, I was just fired up because I know the path you're going. But just talk a little bit about signing to go to Cal State. What made you go to that school, and just talk about the process to even have that opportunity, man, and how it led to such a great day yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. You know, after the whole deal that kind of happened with the coronavirus and the season shutting down, I was pretty upset about the whole deal. You know, just didn't really want to leave the room, just kind of was hanging out and just was like, man, you know, just kind of sitting there disappointed, didn't want to do anything. Well, I remember specifically a phone call with my parents, man. They were like trying to put me at ease with the whole situation, just trying to, you know, relax it all, just let them know that, you know, God's got a plan and, you know, only good can come from this. And I think that was huge for me because that kind of made me take a step back and realize that everything was going to be all right. So I finally got to come home, man. I was excited. Just coming home, hanging out with family, doing that. And I actually, not yesterday, but the day before, about 10:30, I get the first phone call from Cal State. And they kind of, you know, threw an offer out there and said they were interested and wanted to kind of keep talking and stay in touch. And so I was like, man, that's cool. You know, I hung up the phone. I talked to my parents about it. We thought it was a great opportunity. And then they ended up calling back and kind of wanted me to make a decision. And so I kind of like, my parents and I were kind of sitting there thinking, well, man, we got to like start locking down. And so as we were kind of going forward and stuff, I started to get a lot more phone calls throughout the day. And it just started blowing up, man. And it was seriously a full day of just phone calls and stuff like that. And so but yeah, it was cool. The thing that I think separated my decision with Cal State with a bunch of the other schools was definitely the history that they have. Mm-hmm. and the culture they have, because the biggest thing too that I heard a lot about them was that once you're a part of the family, man, you're always a part of that. And that's something I grew up with around PV, and I think Grant can agree with that.
Yep.
You know, once you're a part of the family, you always are. You're always a Panther, man. So that was really cool for me. But you know, the other thing was the success, man, too. Like, I want to go somewhere where, you know, we're gonna win, and I mean I think I could be a part of that and bring something to the table, man. So that was what separated it for me.
Dude, I love hearing that, because you're right, Cal State is just a historic program in the college game. So you set yourself up for winning or maybe going to the College World Series, you may have that opportunity. But like you said, man, the people that have stepped on that field before you, just, and now you're in the echelons, man. Like, you're up with the best, and now you get to find out a whole nother side of yourself against the best, man. And that's what I love hearing about athletes, is when they want that challenge. You know, they want to go to where the best is to find out and to do that, man. So just hit on this a little bit, though, man, because this is absolutely insane. Talking to your dad yesterday when you're in here, and I always have said this, and a guy told me this when I played, is like, every night you step on the field, you play for 32 teams. You're not just going out there playing for the Cubs Athletics. They always told me, every time you step on that field, 32 teams are watching you. So then talking to your dad yesterday just about how you even got on Cal State's radar, it's just unbelievable, insane to me, because there was two different phone calls to scouts that were seeing you play in Texas. Mm-hmm. That you, Cal State, you know, you didn't even know Cal State was at those games, but because you were playing so well and making an impression in front of those scouts, look at that. Two phone calls, boom, on the front stage in California, set yourself up for that. And that's one of the most proudest things I love to hear, is that Cal State wasn't even at your games, but because the way you took the field and the way you approached the game, you made that name for yourself. And it's like, look what happened. Bam, bam, God sets up the opportunity. You don't panic, and they call. Hey, we need an outfielder. Well, there's a guy at Midland, Texas. And Just talk about that, man. How do you approach the game every day now in the college game? And just talk about the last 2 years going from, you know, high school into the college game, and then how you just excelling this year before, you know, this happened.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the way that I look at it is, you know, a lot of people see high school and college obviously on two different scales, but it's the same game that you've played growing up.
Right.
It's the same game from when you were 8 years old to when you're 18 years old. And the biggest thing that I grew up around, and there's times where this kind of slips away from me, and you know, my dad always kind of gets on to me about it a lot too, but we were raised where you hustle everywhere, man. Like, if you hit a ground ball that's, I mean, you're out for sure. You hard 90 all the way through the bag. If you play center field, shortstop, catcher, third base, I mean, it doesn't matter where you play. You hustle to your position, you get out there, you get ready to play, and you treat every single moment as if it's a game-like situation. And I mean, you just have to anticipate that, you know, it, like a Boston Red Sox are watching you, or the Chicago Cubs, the New York Yankees. You just have to take every situation, whether it's a practice, whether it's a game, I mean, whatever it is, you just got to take it like a game-like situation, man. And that's the biggest thing that I grew up around. And I mean, it just sticks out to scouts, because there's people who just give up on 60 feet rather than 90 feet.
It's and so that's funny you say that, because I even had that talk with some kids last week. And I go, why didn't you guys hustle? And they go, well, it was just a scrimmage. And I'm like, there's your mistake right there. Yeah. You just fell for the greatest thing in the book. And your story just right now, I've lost a couple of days, because me as a coach and just how I pay attention to athletes, that's what it's about, man. Like, that's what you dream of. And you want kids to understand that fact. Like, when you cross over on that white lines, that's a gift, man. God's giving you that gift every day, and you have to give everything to that, man. I remember at certain points in my life, I didn't look at the game that way. And it's like, to hear a young kid saying that still on the way up, it's like, it's a breath of fresh air for me, you know, and especially makes me proud of someone from this area. That's the mentality. Like, that's what I want people thinking about, people that come from around here. And, you know, just talk about this, man. You were never a switch hitter. And I always talk to camps in here. Grant's done a million talks about it. And you always want kids to put in the work when no one's watching.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And we've talked about this, man. You came in as a young kid. And I've heard multiple kids come in and say, hey, I want to switch hit. But very few truly mean it. But just talk about, let's go back to those days when... I talked to JC about this the other day, and it's funny your dad was talking about your arm from the outfield now, because he's like, JC came in last week and we were talking about how well you were doing, and he's like, yeah, every time I used to go over there, man, Dave would just be throwing this freaking ball against the wall, you know, just throwing and throwing and throwing. And I'm like, yeah, I said, I remember the days he would go home and hit for hours on the tee just by himself. And if you see good young players, they need to understand that work you put in now is what you're standing on today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the foundation was built back then on your own, in your garage, just working, man. Talk about just buying into wanting to be a left-handed hitter, because what you've done and what you're doing at the college level as a lefty hitter, like, it still blows me away, because the story's so amazing on how it even happened. But just talk about going back to those days, man, and the first beginning stages of becoming a switch hitter and how you mastered that craft.
Yeah, for sure. Where it all started, man, was we actually kept a Connie Mack player named Jonathan Walsh, who ended up going to the University of Texas and eventually playing for the Angels organization. And we were hitting in my garage, and I saw him hitting both ways, man, and it just kind of sparked something to me. Like, it was something different. And at that age, like, you know, you love the game, but you don't really know that much about it yet, you know? And obviously, you know, there's still stuff to learn and all, but to see that, man, it was so cool to me. Like, I was shook. And I knew right then, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to switch hit, man. And that was cool to me. And I didn't know what I was up against, for sure. And I think the cool thing for me was some of my best baseball memories were growing up doing a lot of the switch hitting stuff. Because, I mean, it's my life. It's my, right. it's what, I mean, it's what I'm in college doing. I mean, you know. But when I made that commitment and I told my dad I wanted to do that, he and my mom both told me, man, like, it's going to be some work. And if you want to do this, you're going to commit to it or we're not even going to do it. And so I, you know, had to mentally prepare myself to get ready for that. Well, coming in here with you and spending those long hours on the tee and stuff and working the other way, man, it was the most beneficial thing for my swing going forward. And it was just, I mean, it was just awesome, man. And it was like I told you the other day, it's crazy how a decision at 8 years old to switch hit impacted my life in college and hopefully moving into professional baseball, because it's just like, who would think that a decision at 8 years old would impact your life forever? So, I mean, the amount of work that it takes to put in, man, like, it was like you said, I mean, it was going home and hitting left-handed and right-handed,
yeah.
100 hacks a night, both sides. And it was sitting on a tee when nobody was watching that made the difference. Because it's like you said, everyone sees the success, the home runs, the doubles, the triples. They see all the success on the field, but what nobody sees is the stuff that you put in on your own time. And that's the difference, man. You can do things for looks, and you can do things for the love of the game. And that was me, man. Like, I loved the game, and I knew what I wanted. I knew what I was up against, and I was ready for the challenge, man. And honestly, I don't think I could have ever done it without, you know, the support from you, my parents, my friends, pushing me and motivating me to be, you know, the switch hitter that I am, and knowing that it can be done. And I mean, now moving further into my career, man, I'm just glad I made that decision, and I think it just really impacted everything.
Yeah, I remember when you first started doing it, the guy you kept from Texas, and then you came in, and the first thing I told you, because I'd never told anyone to switch hit, but I was like, man, I know the number one thing when you switch up to the other side is we are so pull happy, because our body is like working against itself, you know? And it's so crazy. Yesterday when you said, I told him something back then that was like elastic band and ping pong paddle.
Yeah.
I've never used that term since. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just something I said back then as a young coach, and he says he still remembers it today. And I'm like, man, I you never know. Like you say, as a coach, like as an 8 year old, you'd never know the decisions back then. Like some of the lessons we did back then, when you were talking to me on the phone and you remembered that stuff, I'm like, it's crazy to think as a coach, you don't think you're doing that much to a kid. Mm-hmm. You just think you're in there doing it, but you remember that stuff later. And it made me think, like, man, we underestimate the influence we truly have just by coming in and like throwing catch to a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, or doing something like that. But I remember for the first like 3 months, I remember telling you will not hit a ball on the pool side for months. And just to think, like, that sounds good right now, but to actually do that is the toughest thing any kid will face, because that ain't fun.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't fun to go in there and hit into a net the other way 100 times every day. You have to know there's a bigger purpose coming, mm-hmm. because every kid, what do they want to do? They want to go in the cage, they want to do flips, and they want to try to hit jacks.
They want the instant results.
Exactly. They don't want to build the foundation. Well, here's an example right here. When you build the foundation, look what you stand on later. Yeah. The quick results don't work. You're talking of a kid that picked it up at 8 years old. You know, and how old are you now?
20.
20.
12 years later.
12 years later. And he's probably still just learning how to hit. You know? Let me ask you that real quick too, man, because I want to talk about approach real quick. Now, I think I've seen a big difference in you pretty much last summer. It was kind of a little bit more presence. It's kind of when you went to college, but you had a little bit more presence in the box with a little bit more power. And I think this year you were coming into your own, especially in the power numbers. Was there a change in approach that kind of clicked? Because I know when I played, you just sometimes get in those counts and you start seeing your pitches that you know you're looking for. And when you get them, you know you can drive them and you can do that. And it's kind of like you get good in your zone. And it's just like a clicking zone mentally. I just wanted to know, because I just seen a difference personally in you in the box, where there was a little bit more confident presence. Like, I know what I'm doing here. And then when I seen your mom putting up those videos this year of you hitting homers both sides doing that, I'm like, okay, mature-wise, he's starting to figure it out just a little bit more. So was there something that you kind of made an adjustment in or just figured out yourself?
I mean, the biggest thing, too, is, I mean, as you get older, you kind of start to grow into your body a little bit, and the power comes.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, as a kid, you know, when we were growing up, you were always wanting me to work gap to gap and do that. And I remember specifically always asking you, too. It was like, dude, when am I going to hit home runs, man? When am I going to hit my first home run, man? You know, Grant and Dalton and Jared and Chase and all these guys are hitting home runs, man. But what the heck? Why am I not, you know?
Yep.
Well, you know, you told me, too. You're like, dude, I mean, you're a smaller guy. You know, the home runs are going to come, but it's going to come off line drives. I mean, so the biggest thing for me, too, is when I'm – so taking a step back, I think a big part of what made me more comfortable at the plate and in the box getting into college was we hit BP on the field every single day.
Yeah.
But moving forward to that, I think when you're hitting BP, whether it be in the cages or on the field or flips or tee or what it is, it's working – obviously staying inside the ball, working gap to gap. And dude, I mean, when you come and you get your pitch and you're looking gap to gap, I mean, it's just gonna, I mean, it just happens. It comes off the bat. You don't go out there trying, because that's when things just go downhill.
Right.
Yeah. And that's when you get into slumps, and that's when you pop balls up and you roll them up. I mean, it's scoops and roll over, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know that.
Oh yeah.
So the biggest thing for me too is, like I said, I mean, I'm trying to pick out a specific part of the ball, and I'm trying to find my pitch. I'm trying to hit that specific part of the ball, and I'm trying to drive it gap to gap. And if it goes over, man, it goes over.
See, that's good, though, because you kind of figured out your approach. Like, if I do this, I get this. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of kids go wrong, too. They think it's always like, oh, let me lift it out of the yard. No. But you got to figure out when you're 2-0, 3-1, and you get your pitch. You want to be doing damage on those. That's the pitches you want to be doing damage. So you have to figure out the approach to where you know. And that's what it just sounds like you figured out, the approach to get your body in position to do the damage when it's supposed to, man. So now that you just touched on all those dudes' names, all right, let's get to some fun stuff here, because I know we're sitting under the Willie Mays Puerto Rico sign up there. We've got Bessie in the house in his work gear. Even talking to you the other day, man, you talk about just growing up competitive. You've talked about how much Shiloh and Shane and those kids influenced you.
For sure.
But just talk about some of the greatest times you've had growing up with this dude, your buddies, in this community, and how much that was an influence on you. Because your buddies are, man. They're a huge influence on your life and who you turn into. So just talk about some of your best moments growing up with those days and playing in Farmington, man.
Let's see if you're going to remember the one that I'm thinking of, but you can go first.
Yeah, for sure. I'll let you chime in on this, but let me start this off. So starting with when we were younger, growing up around, you know, Cody and Shane and Shiloh and all their – that whole group, I think them – They set the foundation for us.
They set the tone.
They set the tone, exactly. And the thing for them was they hated losing more than they liked winning. And that, I mean, that was us. I mean, that's the thing. They hated losing more than they liked winning. And the thing about it was too, is I remember, you know, they always came in here and they were always freaking chirping at each other, and they were doing this and they were doing that, and it's because they were so freaking competitive that they wanted to win, man. They all wanted to win. And growing up, I think that really sparked it for our group, because it was like, dude, like, you know, they won. We watched them, dude. And Bessie and Chase and all these guys will tell you this, dude. We drove down every year at state to watch these guys win state championships, and we, in our little River Cats uniforms,
there's we're a picture going, of us at Pius.
Yeah, rooting on PV baseball in 2000, you know, 11, 12, 13, even
all
14.
Those runs.
I mean, it was like, wow, That's, I mean, that, what they did to
what
this
run,
community.
Dude.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
We were like their little brothers, man.
Exactly.
And remember the stuff
It still
went,
feels like that.
Yeah, yeah, and the stuff with, I remember Justin went through his stuff.
Exactly.
You guys were all in
We
here.
All
you
went
all
to this camp.
Your head,
we shaved our heads.
And then we would all
it
go
was,
to the
it was
ABA
cool,
camp.
It was a huge community. It yeah. was. We were all one, man. And it was yeah, like, it was you had guys from FHS shaving their heads. You had guys at PV shaving their heads. You had us who were in like middle school, elementary school yeah. shaving our heads. Going to school. We were in sixth grade.
We all,
and
we
were
go back on our picture.
Yeah.
We're all bald.
Do you remember some of the workouts we did your
Dude,
third
I,
New Year?
I remember.
I remember being out like in the wash sometimes
oh,
in the dark,
oh
and you guys are like diving well, in the sand.
Dude,
and stuff.
I remember we do these camps now.
It was crazy back yeah. then. Now that I think about it, yeah. it was pretty insane.
Dude, we do the camps now, and they do like that little circuit with the. Jumps and
yeah,
the 180
nice.
Like yeah. I tell people like that was our warm up when we were there. Like we warmed up with that every day. We
yeah.
were like, oh crap, here comes the circuit with
yep,
the
here we go.
With the jumps
doing,
and the 180s
you guys were doing
and
crazy
the,
stuff back yeah. then. I'll never forget the day. You remember when we ran the hills out at the complex? It was late at night too.
Yep.
Like we cut
yep.
up over the field. And I remember
oh,
Jarrett.
I
remember Jarrett. You remember
Jarrett? Me and
Jarrett
were freaking.
Was a freaking monster.
Dude, me and Jarrett were going
And he was
at
running.
It.
He was running
oh, yeah.
so far. And I'm like, dude, these it's a
we
different level out here.
Yeah,
right
dude,
now.
It is.
There were just days where we could keep up. And then there were days where Jarrett just absolutely stomped us. I remember that day being like.
He
I remember running
huge,
and I kept
yeah.
up with him the first one. We were going and I kept up. And then, dude, he just like flipped a switch. And
yeah.
I was like, mm-hmm. there's no shot.
But how much fun are those days when you go through it with your buddies?
Exactly.
I think we miss. I like now that we're talking about it. Like I, our group where we missed it is like we were so competitive that like
that's
dude. We just wanted everybody to lose. But if we could have used it as like this is making us better and
yeah.
remembered that it was making
mm-hmm.
us better, we would have went on the same runs that those guys went on. But we just like. We had a weird, like, super competitive, I hope this guy loses kind of thing. And
so,
it
do you remember in middle
it.
School when we had game, and I told Adam this the other day, when we were in middle school in PE, we had games taken away from us because we were too competitive.
Oh, my gosh. Ms. Trotter comes in. She's like, we're going to do competitive PE class. All of us sign up. And we're getting ready to go do dodgeball.
Wait, did you say competitive PE?
Yes. Yeah. She, yes.
Like there's actually
she,
a name
yeah,
for it?
Yeah, she's guess, like, yeah. she's like, we're going to start. I want to do a PE class with all the athletes. And so all of us start, like, we start rallying the troops. We go and grab Christian. Like, we're grabbing everybody. So one day we're getting ready to do dodgeball. And we're going upstairs and. And I think Daylon and Cody were gonna be on a team, and everybody's like, "That's stupid. We can't have the buddies on the team. Like, that's dumb. No, we're not doing that." And we're arguing about teams. We haven't even started. And Miss Char just goes, "That's it. You guys are running." So we go and we're running. She feels bad because we're in middle school, so she reins us back in. And I remember we're getting ready to pick teams, and Chase was one of the ones that was harping off really bad, and Jarrett just goes. Chase, go eat a Snickers. You're not you when you're hungry. And we just start dying. We're like, we're dead at this point. That like, so then we start picking teams, dude. But I remember, like, we would, like, we tried to split up duos. Like, I remember, like, me and Chase couldn't be together. Daylon and Cody couldn't be together. Like, we just tried to split it up. And then it just got, like, oh, so competitive.
Yep.
Super fun. I remember... Do you remember when we went to the Willie Mays Fields and it was dumping rain? Like,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. It's pouring. The fields, it's done. We show up. It's all muddy. We're like, we're going to play. Like, I'm talking puddles. This field should not be played on. We start sliding. We're drenched. Like, we're drenched. It's raining. We're like, crap, we got to get home. We're in eighth grade, I think. We're in eighth grade. I still live up on Sunset. Cody lives over there. So we bring a change of clothes and we, like, made a wall. And, like, we're all changing in our clothes, thinking, like, it's going to help, but it doesn't. And we start walking back. We walked back from the Willie Mays Fields all the way back up here to my house on Sunset.
Yep.
And it's dumping rain. And, like, the team we played, and, you know, we were so competitive. I think my team lost. And so I'm carrying this heavy bag. It is so heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, Grant, let me take this bag. And I'm like... No, I freaking lost.
It's so
I'm heavy. I'm taking the punishment. I'm carrying this bag. I keep going. Oh, dude, I just remember though,
having
like
the Bessie Powell.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Dude, I was like just so determined.
The cool thing about it too, since both of you are here, I remember one specific thing too. We were doing a workout here at the Strike Zone, and we had the big stone round boulder,
dude.
And we were trying to see, you know, you had to walk a certain thing with it, and you said, "All right, who's gonna take it the furthest?" And I knew, man, the fire lit in our eyes, and I took it, and you know, I probably took it damn near around the building.
It's still out there.
Around the building. We haven't whipped out that rock. And Grant picks it up, man, and he can't do it. I'm like, "That's right, Grant. You know, you can't do it. That's right, Grant." And Grant lights that fire, picks it up, and he takes it the extra mile, and he just freaking smokes me, man. And I remember, like, I was so pissed that I was trying to freaking fight Grant, and Grant was trying to fight me, and everyone's trying to break us up. Oh, but it's the competitive spirit in
the end. But that's built in every man.
Yeah.
It's funny you talked about Shiloh's group and that. I remember the second year when they had Mike Bernal on the team. I remember there was like 3 or 4 fights that year that these guys nearly had, because I remember they were in the parking lot working out one day.
Yeah.
And they were doing something nasty out there, man, and Bebo was hammered. Like, Bebo just completed the circuits and Damien jumped off. And Bebo comes flying out of the car, dude, and he's in Damien's face up against the wall, just like, "You talk a lot of smack." Like, he's in his face. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. "Boys, boys, boys." And that was all the time, man. I remember Dom and Bernal getting into it. But I think, even touching on kids today, man, you shouldn't rein that in on men. Like, it shouldn't be out of control where you're, like, beating on kids.
Yeah.
But listen, that is built in us.
Oh.
And that's what I feel like today. They pull back on the young kids. Don't be like, no, like, listen,
we got to live middle of it. We went from, like, super competitive to, I mean, Daylan knows when we were in PV, like, from freshman year on, like, the program just got softer and softer and softer. But, like, I remember going in and, like, it was, like, balls to the walls, competitive in your face to, like, slowly. And, like, that's where we started dying off now that we're, like, sitting here and, like, really thinking about it. Like, when we were in each other's face, we'd go every weekend. We'd go either Ladera, Willie Mae. We were always playing. If it wasn't baseball, we were playing football at the Hutch. Cody was rounding up the team. We were competing, and then, like, that just, like, slowly stopped, and, like, it was okay to give. We kind of just, like, fed into society. Like, we had our little – I know we talk about, like, the cult, but, like, we had our little group where it was just, like, in-your-face competitive, yeah. And we were going to get it done, to, like, that slowly just, like, "No, it's okay, it's okay." And it just, like, we all got softer from it.
But I think, did technology get a lot stronger? Because when you take you guys, I look at you guys as 13-year-olds.
Yeah, we didn't have our
phones.
You
guys were the outdoor, like, those type of kids,
man. We just didn't have our phones. We had to create our own stuff. I remember even on road trips at the Pyramid, we'd play sockball in the... Like, we didn't have phones, so we would...
We
grabbed socks and...
Well, you say we didn't have phones. We did. We just never were on them, man.
Yeah, I mean, we just weren't on them.
I mean, we were in elementary school, and Coach Martin came to Ladera and taught us sockball.
Yeah.
And it was like, we were in hotel rooms, or not hotel rooms, we were in hotel
lobbies,
business rooms,
yeah,
where we were not even allowed into, but we snuck in there, man, and we made little sock balls rolled up into a ball, and we were playing against each other.
Anything to play.
We would get noise complaints because we were in there, getting too competitive.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I think it built...
Instagram. Once Instagram got big is when... Instagram and Snapchat, when those two got really big, is where the technology took over, mm-hmm. I think. Would you agree?
Well, there has to be the correlation.
Yeah,
you felt the workouts get less, or you felt it get like that, as technology got better and Snapchat, Instagram got better.
Oh, yeah.
So then it was like, even I take kids, we've talked about this, kids that it's fake. Like, you put up a picture and you show the tee and you're like, "Hey, putting in the work." No, you're not.
No.
Like, it's fake. You're not, you don't have that, like you're saying, go on doing the stuff on your own. You know, you flex in the mirror and you put up a picture and it shows that you're working out. It's not.
No.
Like, that ends up getting exposed somewhere, man.
Yep.
You know, and that mentality, it's so good for me to hear you talk like that, because that mentality is what gets you when you go against the best.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No one feels sorry for you when you go against the best, man. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And
that's just the way it is. Yeah. And if you're going to Cal State and you're going to go against the best to do it at that age in the country, then guess what, man? You've got to be friggin'... If you're not competitive, You don't even make that trip out there because that's a shark tank, man. And then it gets worse the further you go because it's like you're competing for money, you're competing for contracts, and everyone is good. Everyone is good. And that when that happens, what's between the ears separates everyone, man. And I remember you talk about all your buddies growing up. When I grew up, I had good friends, man. My best friend, he was Australasian champion for Muay Thai at one point of his life. And then I had an older cousin, man. He was 4 years older than me. So we would work out every day. He lived on the same farm as me. Mm-hmm. And I would just walk up to his house. We would have tennis balls. And we would go out there and we would compete in everything. And I never thought about it back then, just like you said, how much he influenced what I do today.
You get caught up in it.
No, and it's like if it wasn't for him, I couldn't have went to the world championships and competed at a high level. I couldn't have went and competed on that because every single day it was the mindset competing against that dude. It was never the game. It was the mindset behind everything you did. And that's what I took out of you the other day when you said, I still remember when you would be the Yankees and I would be the Red Sox and you would get pissed as like an 8-year-old kid. And it's the same mindset behind you stepping on the field now in college. Like, it was the mental mindset behind the work that truly matters. It's never the work. It's crazy that's what it was, man. Back when I used to compete with my cousin, I still had that same aggressive mentality. Mm-hmm. And anytime I stepped on the pro field, anytime I get up and run now, it's that same mindset. I think that's the thing that separates high-performing athletes reaching their potential and what doesn't, man. That is
the process.
And the mindset process behind the work.
Like, mm-hmm. I think, for me, I'm not playing anymore. So, like, for me, it was like I got too caught up in, like, the outcome rather than the process. Like, it's funny that we're sitting here now, like, how much I really did enjoy going to the field and playing with those guys and, like, doing the stupid stuff that we did. I mean, we didn't have them a lot. Like, we're not in a big city, so we don't have the technology. And but we did absolutely anything we could do to play baseball. If we played blitz ball, if we played sock ball, if we didn't have a woof, like, we did whatever we could do. We would duct tape socks together. Like, we just wanted to play.
And those days are so awesome.
Yeah. Like,
and now you sit here more mature and you're like, you know what, man?
We were on to something.
Yeah, but it was just like you do enjoy those days because they do go and you go to a different part. It's like, but like you said, going to the Willie Mays fields, playing those games, that's when life is at its most pure, dude. Like, you never forget those.
No.
You never forget those days. You never forget those experiences. And the more I look back on them now, too, it's the same way, man.
Yeah.
Like, now that you get wiser, you're like, dude, gosh, life was not what you thought it was back then.
Yeah,
you know, it was never about the game.
We just loved being around each other and playing. Like, it wasn't about, we weren't even thinking, I mean, in the back of our minds probably state championship, but like at that time it was just like, we just want to have fun. And then it just led to World Series here, led to going to Puerto Rico. Like, things just started falling into place. But when we started like really thinking, okay, like, we gotta be state champs, like, and we kind of like sat on it is when things went bad. But when we didn't think about that stuff is when the magic happened. Mm-hmm. Like, now that I'm sitting here, it's like none of us really, like, when I had my good seasons, I wasn't thinking like, I'm gonna be the best hitter. Like, I remember, like, for me, like, I wasn't even allowed to see my stats. Like, it was like, you can't see them, you're just gonna hit. And then someone comes up to me and they're like, bro, you're hitting 700. I'm just hitting. Like, and then, like Dalen's saying, like, the whole, like, things just start falling into place. You just, if you're going to drive it gap to gap, you're going to drive it gap to gap. And you can't worry about the results of when you don't. You just, everything leaves. When you stop worrying about results, like, good or bad, and you just really focus on process of, this is what I'm going to do. I just love doing this. This is my process. For Dalen, it was hitting on the tee 100 hacks a day. For me, it was coming in and hitting with you. Like, when we just really enjoyed the process, the magic happened. Mm-hmm. But when we got caught up in the comparison of, like, being better than each other, because we did. We had that side of us where we're like, it was bred into us to be better. That's when things started going bad. When we didn't worry about each, like, yes, we worried about each other. We wanted to win. But we didn't, like, worry in the fact that, like, we really I have to be better than Dalen. I have to be better than Chase.
Well, let me touch on this because I had a young kid ask me that this year, and he goes, He goes, if I ever make it to the NFL, I'm going to make sure I come back here. And I said, well, if you ever make it to the NFL and you act like that towards me, I said, I'll drive to that stadium and I'll slap you around the ear hole.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I go, just remember, it doesn't matter what you do on the field. So it's just like we sit here today and I'll just nail it for you right here. Does Daylon look at you any different that you don't play baseball anymore?
No, absolutely not. When all those guys get back in town.
That's real. And what it's like... Just think about that.
We got
that.
Game night tomorrow night.
But then think about this.
Take his money, too.
How do you feel that one of your boys is going to the historic college out there and is doing his thing?
Dude, it's been so cool to be back home at the fort, like back in Farmington, and just like taking care of things here and seeing all my buddies crushing it. Like Bubba tearing it up, Chase going to U of A, Alex doing his thing, Daylon signed. Like it's
really
so
cool,
to
it's really cool
to really see like Nate tearing it up and State. Like it's just cool, man. And I think like our group is it's a special group. Like we for really sure. are like the little brothers to the Shiloh and Shane and all those guys. Like they'll come back and talk about us and like
yeah,
it's crazy. Like they always come and talk to me and they're always asking me about Daylon out. Like it's just a weird thing. Like we're just the little brothers.
We're a community, man.
Really, yeah, it really was
like
man.
That.
Cool.
Like after
now
us,
now that I think about it today, I'm like it's
crazy.
Really,
we used
really
to
legit.
We did camps with those guys. Like yeah. it was just like they looked after us and like protected us. And,
yep.
Dude, we did. We drove and watched them at state, and we like Daylon said, once a Panther, always a Panther. And it's cool to hear Daylon. I know I didn't get to talk about it earlier, but like talking about like the hustle mentality, man. Like I had to get onto the guys when we had practice. Like they weren't hustling, and it's like it's a slap in the face. Like we hustled everywhere we went. There was no walking
you
on the field.
Argue
we
that
just
fact, for sure.
Dude, I remember hearing the story of Cody. And it just clicked with all of us, and we lived it. We sprinted everywhere we went. We never walked on the field.
Dude, Bubba's story with Magaha yelling at him.
Oh, dude, that was real.
I was nearly crying when I did that thing with him. He's like, I didn't even want to go to practice on Thursday.
Bro,
and he's like, Mike would be yelling
true.
At him, Bubba,
so
you're not
real.
Gonna make this
it's
team.
So,
dude,
so real.
But that was.
And we called him out.
We all dreaded. I mean, we all dreaded.
Oh, dude.
So going back onto the Red Sox and Yankees, man, I think that was huge for me growing up too. And the reason why, it's like you said, it was the stuff the idea of what we were doing. It wasn't just playing a game. You know,
right.
It was setting yourself up that you know what. You're going to play, you know, your rivals. You're going to play these different schools or whatever. But if you lose, and I remember there's times specifically, but if you lose, how are you going to respond to that? And so I remember going home one night just infuriated, man. I was furious. I freaking lost, man. It was like by one run, two, and I was like, dude, if I would have just did something. And so I'm sitting there just complaining, complaining, complaining. My dad looks at me and he goes, what's going on? I was like, dude, I just freaking lost, man. I just want to go back there and win. He goes, okay, well, you can't go back there right now, so what are you going to do? Are you going to go hit in the garage and hit 100 balls on each side and go beat him next time? And that was, like, a huge thing that clicked for me, like, wow. I mean, he's right. I can – and that's kind of a problem with a lot of the, like, players today, too, is so many people are so okay with being told you can't do something – that they just let it happen to them.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, anything is it. You can achieve anything, man. And but the thing about it is work. They're gonna throw adversity at you in baseball. I mean, I'm sorry, but no person ever in your entire life will you talk to someone that plays the game of baseball that made it, and will they say that they never had any adversity?
Oh yeah.
And so that was the biggest turning point for me. It was like it was dealing with adversity, and we grew up around that at PV, and now going into college, that's something we grew up around. It was dealing with adversity, man, and that's a huge game changer, because if you can figure that out, man, you got it.
Dude, Kuhn said that about his dad, man. Kuhn said, I remember when Alex was on the verge of quitting, and I love going back to those days, because as a 13 or 14-year-old kid, that's the most tragic day of your life when you feel like you're going to give up baseball.
Yeah.
But his dad never made it softer for him. His dad said, listen, you're smaller. You're going to have to work harder. And then I'm like, look what he's doing.
Us, for
I'm
sure.
like, it's cool to see because it's look what you're doing. And
yeah.
I love the mindset of what you're saying there, because you don't make the world softer. The no. world's going to kick your butt.
None
you have
us.
To be tough
None of our
to handle
made
it,
it
man.
For
and
us.
That's every one of your guys' program, every kid had that about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always fought that way. And they still are. That's what I'm saying.
That's cool, too, because, I mean, although we had a lot of, like, guys, like, you know, like, I mean, Jared growing up, he was really good. Chase growing up, I mean, obviously, he was really good. You know, we all had a lot of talent, man. But and
whole college
for me, personally, I think Alex's story, man, it's freaking awesome, man. That's, like, that's inspiration to me. Because the dude was never,
Alex's story is the most
powerful. I mean, he
was
always the smallest guy, man. He was always the smallest guy, but he...
Dude, we did our best to freaking pull it out of him too. I know we
brought the best out of him too. Yeah, like, we always freaking, dude, we hammered him.
We knew, like, we knew when we could use that, like, to fuel him, and then we knew when to stop with it. Because I know we went out there and we're like,
oh yeah, dude. Growing up, we used to be like, dude, you're freaking too small. You can't do this. You can't do that.
And then he would come back and answer, dude. All
right, watch this. And he freaking, and that was huge, man. And that's one of the biggest inspirations to me, man. It's like, it doesn't matter who you are, or how big you are, or whatever, it's possible, man, with the right mindset, man. That guy has,
and
I mean, he's
right
got his head screwed on
straight.
And the
right people around
you, dude, Bubba,
man.
Too, like,
the right people around
both those guys just crushing it, and I think it's just cool, and, like, it's funny that we're talking
really awesome.
About, like, being connected to Shane and Shiloh and all those guys, and, like, kind of watching the transition at PV, because I remember, you know, I was at PV. Every time we played FHS, we smoked them, and I remember quitting and coming over here, and, like, asking them, like, dude, like, because, like, when we were younger, those games were kind of close sometimes. Like, I remember we'd play, like, Isaiah and them and Willie Mays, and, like, we'd lose by, like, one or two runs. And then when we got to high school, we just smoked them. And so I asked them, I'm like, why did we always, like, why was it so easy for us to beat you? And they're like, bro, we would, like, try to get hyped up, and then we just knew we were going to lose. And, like, I told them, I'm like, I'm going to tell you something. When we were at PV and we played FHS, we knew 110% we were not losing that game. And I think that just was bred from watching those guys and really being in here and, like, but also on top of it, going out and living it. Like, I don't remember seeing, I mean, we were at the baseball field every weekend, every time we had a chance. And it's just funny, like, talking to those guys, and, like, it's interesting, and, like, it's cool to see Kaysen crushing it too, and, like, Dusty and stuff, but, like, it's just a different breed on where we're at. And I think I know me and him both agree, like, we kind of wish it would go back to the whole city kind of uniting, there not being a divide of FHS and PV. But, like, that also just comes from the kids. Like, we just all moved together, and we just refused to, we just knew we were good. And it wasn't just FHS that we thought we were gonna beat. When we went against Cleveland and Rio Grande, mindset. We did not think we were losing those games. We knew those games were going to be tougher because they were bigger schools. But I remember going and playing La Cueva, and we weren't scared. We just got the games that we really lost. Either A, we just lost because they were better than us, or B, there were those days where we would come out lax, or, you know, and Dalen can attest to that. But I really think we loved playing baseball, and we were going out to win. And, like, that just transitioned to high school. But I don't think it was really – yes, Coach McGaw, like, did push us to work harder and stuff, but we really rallied around each other. And, like, we tried to just – we were just constantly, like, one guy was doing better, and we just chased after that dude. And then the technology switch kind of happened. But I don't really think – and, like, Gav, they only had Gav. Like, we had Jarrett, me, Dalen, Chase, Alex, Bubba. And then from that group, really, they had Gavin. And, like, that's who we would say was with our group. Yeah, I mean, Isaiah, I played with Isaiah, but, like, Gavin was, like, the dude that was the closest to us when we went and traveled. So, like, to have Gavin, and that's it, and then have six of us who were working hard, you just don't match the work ethic there. Mm-hmm. And then Gavin, we saw that. They won the state championship because Gav, he delayed it, dude. He came in, and those guys all came and worked hard, and they won. So kudos to them. But still, like, I feel tied to that.
Well, it's
that
the same,
group
it
there.
Comes back to the same thing, though, man, because I'm thinking about what you're saying, and you're like, you want the town united to, like, go make a Connie Mack run.
Yeah,
just,
like,
say that. But what people don't understand, dude, is in September, October, November, December, Shane and Shiloh and those kids were murdering each other in here.
We saw that.
They didn't show up in the summer. You guys were competing against each other all year. And now these kids think, hey, I don't have to work all off season.
Nope.
And I'm going to show up in the summer, and then I'm going to go do these amazing things. It doesn't work that way. It comes down to the work. Before we start getting blown up here in about 15 minutes, but just touch on this, man. How much is an influence has your dad had on your journey, man?
Dude, my dad's freaking awesome, man. That's my best friend. Yeah,
and your parents. Like, just talk about that, man, because I've seen him with you the whole step of the way, dude. Yeah. Talking to him yesterday, I've never seen him more prouder of what happens. You know, he's in that position. But just talk about just even some of the things you've said today, man. Like, just like when you're hitting on the tee and he says those one or two things, like, what are you going to do about it? And just talk about the influence of your parents on your journey, dude.
For sure. You know, my dad is like my best friend, dude. And he's been with me this whole journey and just been, I mean, dude, like, he gets freaking excited about it all, man. He freaking, like, he just gets a kick out of it. Like, he, like, this is, like, he want, like, dude, it's just, it's, I mean, it's crazy. It's awesome. He loves being a part of the journey, man. And I think everything for him, too, is because growing up, he didn't really get the same opportunities that I did. And I think that's kind of something that I use as motivation, too, because every time that he tells me something, I know that's coming from the bottom of his heart, knowing that, like, he didn't get the same opportunities growing up, man. And the cool thing about it, too, is he's my motivator, man. Like, he pushes me, and he doesn't let me get down on myself. He doesn't let me be okay with what, you know, I am. He doesn't let me get content. He's big into getting better and stuff like that. And I remember against Odessa College hitting the cycle, and he calls me, man, and he was so freaking fired up. But he tells me, he goes, the work's not over. You got to get better. As a player, you're like, man, I got to get better. And he goes, yeah. You just got to get better. And that's like, for me, like, he's just my, like, he's my backbone, man. My mom is right there every step of the way, man. She's my promoter. She does it all. I mean, We always kind of laugh about this, man, because everyone always is like, oh, yeah, you know, hashtag switch hitter, hashtag this, hashtag that. But, dude, my mom is my biggest promoter, man, and it's crazy, man. It's crazy because, you know, we sit here and laugh about it, but I've had so many college scouts call me and say, yeah, we saw videos on your mom's Facebook or your mom's Twitter, and I'm just like, it actually works. Yeah. Like, what the heck, man? Oh, but she's really awesome, man. She freaking loves it, but... But both of them together, man, they're just, I mean, they're a great team, and they're my backbone, and they do it all for me, man. I was blessed with such great parents, and I'm glad that they push me the way they do, and they're there, man. And it was awesome, man, to see tears come into their eyes when I made the final commitment to commit to Cal State Fullerton. I saw tears come to their eyes. My mom, first one, man, she grabs me, and she's freaking hugging me. My dad's over in the corner just fist pumping, like, dude, this is happening, man.
That's
legit. And it was, I mean, it was cool, man. They're my biggest supporters, man. Yeah. They are, and it's awesome to be a part of. The other thing, too, that I've kind of wanted to talk about, too, is just coming from this area, man, I think the biggest thing that lights my fire, too, is it drives me insane when people go, oh, well, you know, you're from New Mexico or you're from Farmington. And you look at guys that have come, and they're just like, well, I mean, it's tough coming from Farmington. Yeah, you know what it is, but dude, we've had so much talent go through here that had the right mindset, had the right stuff, man, but I just think that they get beat down so much from the idea that they're from New Mexico or they're from Farmington and they think they can't do it, man. For the kids growing up and going forward into baseball, man, they need to know that it doesn't matter where you're from, man. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, was when I went to college in Texas, man, like, I was sitting there talking with my mom and dad about it. I was like, man, Texas, like, this is Texas baseball. This is crazy. It doesn't change a thing, man. You come where you come from. I mean, all these people come from different areas. It's like Mike Trout. Mike Trout came from a small area. Where was it? New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
It's not about where you come from, man. It's about the fire you have and the work you put in, too.
I said that I went to talk at some schools last week, and I say that in my talks all the time. It started with me, man. I got sat on the bench as an 11-year-old kid. And I went away to some tournament, and I sat on the bench. And I didn't go home and cry about it. I went to my dad and said, I'll never sit on the bench again. And he put up a trampoline mat in between two trees, and I had a bucket of balls and a tee. And he got a spray can, and he drew a box. and it said base hit, and then up top of the net it said home run. It was an 11-year-old kid, dude. I just started swinging right there. And then all of a sudden after that, dude, I did stuff that you would never even dreamed of, but it just started with one swing.
Your path of what you have. Like, I think we get caught up in these people from these big cities have so much more. It's easier for them, but it's like, okay, well, it may be easier for them, but doesn't mean you can't make it, like Dalen's saying. I think that's important. I think we just really need to get back to, like, it's an honor to be from Farmington. Like, we got the World Series here. Mm-hmm. Like, we
I'm
used to come
proud.
And sit
I'm proud
and just
because
be like,
of guys like you.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up here, man. Like, this is, like, ever since my career finished, that was my crossroad in my life. So I had to rebuild myself in this community. Then it's like, we talk about all the experiences we have today. It's like, dude, that's what Farmington reminds me of, is like you guys and Shiloh and like our extension of our family. So when people trash it, I'm like, I take it personal because it's trashing you guys.
Yeah.
It's trashing your families. It's trashing people I love and care about.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like I said, man, it doesn't matter where you're from. I remember saying that to those guys the first year in the Connie Mack. We sat in here, and I remember looking at him, and it was the perfect storm because we had Jake McCaslin on the mound to go do what he was supposed to do. He had the arm to match the out-of-town kids. He had the arm to match, and he had the everything behind him. And I remember telling those boys in here that night, and I said, dude, it doesn't matter where you're from.
Yep.
It doesn't matter that the kid has East Cobb across their chest or Midland across their chest. Every day, someone can lose. They're a man just like you. And it doesn't matter where you're from. It's just like you're saying. It's the attitude behind the work. And I'm proud to be from this. I am proud to be from here because of you guys and your families and our extension. And I that's what I say. I hate when people say that because that's how I view my area. That's what I take, and it's personal against the people you see every day here.
Yeah.
And it's such a great community, man. Like, this is such – like, you talk about just you guys growing up and doing what you're doing. I talk about, like, how – my daughter's being affected in this community and the way my kids get to do stuff today and just the whole experiences we've had together. It's the greatest life in the world, man.
Oh, yeah, and it's so
like,
cool.
Like, I don't want my kids to grow
too.
Up anywhere else. Yeah. And just all the experiences we have together, like, it's awesome, dude. Like, it's awesome to sit here and say, man, it doesn't matter if you're at Cal State or I'm doing something here or Bessie's doing something or anyone. It's like, you know what? It's still always family here. It's always that community.
It's love. Yeah.
It's funny just to sit in here and do a podcast with you today, man, because it's like, dude, I remember the first time I ever met you, you were that little blonde-haired kid with a beanie on that was coming from snowboarding. And you didn't even know if you liked baseball, dude. I remember. Your dad even told me, like, yeah, we don't know if baseball's his thing yet. And you did a couple lessons, and we did some fielding lessons. And then now, look, man, you see the whole journey, and now you're getting to go into that next level where it's only just beginning, dude. Like, you're going to get to go do so much cool stuff and compete on a level that you've earned.
Yeah.
You've earned to go compete at that level, and that's where it's going to be cool, man.
Yeah, it's going to be cool to finally see one of us be the guys like Shiloh. Like, I remember when Shiloh signed and we all went over to his house and like got stuff signed off.
How many people went to spring training to see him play?
Oh, dude,
I remember go watching him play down there. Yep. And he was playing in spring training.
Like,
it was like,
dude,
the whole family
said it.
Was like down
Dalen
there
said
playing.
It like, I remember we even would go down to Phoenix for the high school baseball trip when we were seventh graders, because we couldn't go eighth graders because we were in the program by then. But I remember seventh grade year going up there and watching those guys all play. Yep. Like, that's what we did for spring break. We didn't go and have fun. Like, we went and supported the boys. We're like, we're going to go watch them play.
So that's our family, man.
Yeah,
our
like,
community.
It's weird. We were already new. Like, we were a part of that family. Yeah. And
I knew that yesterday when you put up that post, man, because I was like, even for me, being in this town for 15 years now, just to see you go getting to that full circle place, and I'm like, you know what, man, that is like, I'm proud of that fact. I'm proud to be like, you're from Farmington, you're going out to that school, and you're representing this town, and that we can sit here when you're back here doing this. But it's just like, for me, I'm like, dude, that is it's awesome. For anyone not to be proud of that or to have any like ill feelings that you get a chance, it's just like, that is so wrong. Like, it's the coolest thing. And ever since I've did these podcasts with all your old buddies, their stories are phenomenal, man. And everyone is so proud to be from here. And this town does produce winners. This town produces champions, man. And it's champions like, in life, dude.
And it's like you said, too. Like, it, the cool thing about it is, too, is there's so many sour people out there that, like, you commit to a place like Cal State Fullerton or U of A or Washington State or something like that, and there's so many sour people out there that would be like, man, why am I not getting this opportunity? Yep. Why? But it's so cool to have people like, you know, Bessie and Chase and Alex and just the whole – I mean, all the people we grew up around and our community to be like, Chase commits to U of A, and everyone's, dude, let's go. Like, right. Like that's a Farmington guy, Washington State with Nate. Dude, awesome. That's cool. Yeah. Cal State, like, I'm starting to see, like, dude, this community, like, wants people to succeed.
It's legit. Dude. It's awesome. There's a lot of kids and a lot of people doing some cool stuff.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons I wanted to start this, because I want to show the people, man. Yeah. Like, I want to show these kids that, like, look at you guys.
I think we just got tired of everybody. We all got tired of listening to negative stuff. Like,
but it was never about, it's not about me, no, it's not about Grant.
It's not even about
our community saying no. Yeah. You've said it today, dude. This is what I'm so proud of what you said today. It doesn't matter where you're from. Be proud to be from here. That's what the next generation needs to hear, man, because somewhere along the line that got lost.
Yeah.
It got lost, man. And these young kids around here that are 10, 11, 12 that listen to this, or their parents listen to this, it makes me proud, like, to be from here when I hear a kid talking like that. So... Mm-hmm. I know we're going to start wrapping up here, dude, but sure. I tell you what, man, from me to you, from where it started, I'm so damn proud of you, dude.
I appreciate that.
I know it's just the start of what you're going to go do, man, and I'm excited for you as a person, because I've been to be able to compete on those levels, and when you have that competitive spirit, man, it's like there's no better feeling, dude. That's the one thing I miss competing, like, on the team sports or in baseball, is like when you get to go against the best of the best. And say, man, do I really have what it takes? Like, that's what you've worked your whole life for. So, I know so many people around here that are so proud that you're out there doing that, man, and are so fired up to be a part of it. I just love hearing the pact you guys have with your buddies. But truly a phenomenal story, man, and I'm proud of you. I know Bessie is, but thanks for coming in, man.
For sure, thanks for having me.
To talk to you, dude.
It was awesome.
Yeah, dude, pretty cool. It's been a fun last couple years watching all you guys tearing it up, dude. It's like, I'm like, bro, get a phone call. I'm like, Dalen just hit a bomb. I'm like,
it's cool, man. Freaking. Every time you're going deep, I'm like, dude, he's doing it. You know?
No, dude.
It's cool.
Yeah, it'll be cool. We'll have to see when Chase gets in town. He told me he was coming in today.
Is he coming today?
Yeah, he is. I talked to Dolores, and they said he wasn't coming. But when Chase gets in here, we gotta get one with the boys.
I said we get a whole podcast together, man. Yeah. I want to get back in here. This is cool, and just to hear everyone's point of view, which it all comes back to.
We gotta get Hub in here, because Hub's like,
get everyone in, man.
Hub's the guy that we gotta chat it up with.
I'm all about that.
Be cool.
Thanks for coming in, dude.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it.
Yeah.